I'd like to read three passages of Scripture, and the first in the Book of Lamentations. The Book of Lamentations, chapter 3. In this Bible, it's on page 988. It's the Book of Lamentations, and chapter 3. It's almost the middle of the Bible, I think. But it's in verse 22 I'd like to read. Lamentations 3 and 22. It is of Jehovah's loving kindness. We are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jehovah is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. And then, could we read in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 16, in this Bible it's on page 1440. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he has often refreshed me and has not been ashamed of my chain, but being in Rome, sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him to find mercy from the Lord on that day, and how much service he rendered in Ephesus, thou knowest best. And finally, in the book of Exodus, initially in chapter 31, in page 113 in this Bible, Exodus chapter 31, and the middle of verse 17. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Just a verse later on in Exodus, in the last chapter, verse 33, end of 33. And so Moses finished the work. And the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of Jehovah filled the temple. And Moses could not enter into the tent of meeting, for the cloud abode on it, and the glory of Jehovah filled the tabernacle. I'd like to speak about refreshment, or keeping things fresh. I think God loves the thought of freshness, being refreshed. With us, things can easily become stale. As believers, things can become stale. But God loves freshness. We see that all around. It's a lovely time of the year. Driving up here, see all these leaves, fresh green leaves. See some of the flowers starting, budding, blossoms, blossom out in different places. I was thinking recently, it's interesting God should have made his creation like that. Well, you've got seasonality connected with it. In fact, it says in Genesis, after the flood, and God said this, henceforth, all the days of the earth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. God, I think, loves that thought of things fresh. Every year there's a change. Autumn, the leaves die off. Winter comes, and then spring comes, and everything comes to life again. I was with someone this week who showed me some work he had done. Beautiful calligraphy. Beautiful quotations from books he had written out. And I looked at it very carefully. It was beautifully done. But, I mean, it won't change. It might decay. It might get lost. It might get burnt up. But it's not going to change. There's a man I know, he goes in for making boats, ships, models of ships with matchsticks. And, I mean, a lot of work goes into these things. And it looks very nice when it's all finished. But there's no change things. But God seems to like this idea of refreshment and renewal and change that takes place. And so God has made the creation that way. And I think there's something for that in us. In fact, we have some of the Psalms that refer to the creation. Psalm 19, for example. Day to day uttereth speech, night to night sheweth knowledge. There's a testimony for God and the renewal of things day by day in the history of the earth. Some of the other Psalms speak about the wonders of creation. I think it's Psalm 64 speaks about that. Lots of items connect with the creation and the freshness that's maintained in creation. So I'd like to speak about how God refreshes us, and then about how believers can refresh one another. And then I would like to refer to this interesting thought in Exodus. Not only that God rested, but God was refreshed. And thinking about what's secured for the pleasure of God. And secured for the pleasure of God eternally. A good many years ago, someone explained to me, which was a big help to me, the last verse of Ephesians chapter 3, that there be glory to God in the assembly in Christ Jesus throughout all generations of the age of ages. And I couldn't quite understand this thought, all generations. He said it gives the idea of freshness, continuity. And no doubt the hymn writer had that in mind when he wrote perpetual freshness marks the eternal day. So I'd like to speak about this, what God provides for us. And I read that passage in Lamentations. I expect most of us here know about the book of Lamentations, understood to be written by Jeremiah, who was one of the prophets who warned those who were Israelites at that time about impending judgment and the need of repentance, particularly those in rulers at that time. God had given warning after warning to his earthly people that he had redeemed from Egypt and brought into the land of Canaan about their deeds and how they were disobeying his law. And he warned again and again, and they didn't listen. And eventually, God sent his judgment through Nebuchadnezzar, and it was a terrible judgment on the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was burnt with fire, temple destroyed, many people taken away captive to Babylon. It was a dreadful time. People have images nowadays of some places in the world that get bombarded. You see pictures of whole cities and ruins through missiles that have been fired, things like that. But this was Jerusalem long ago. And Jeremiah writes this book of Lamentations, and he goes over a number of things that had happened in Jerusalem. And he's not trying to say we didn't deserve it. He's saying just the opposite throughout the book of Jeremiah, from the book of Lamentations. He's explaining that people had got just exactly what they had deserved. He had been the prophet that had told God's things, but he felt terribly how things had were now after the destruction of Jerusalem. And he has this prophecy, and it makes pretty grim reading, actually, reading through most of the five chapters about the destruction that had come upon Jerusalem. But in the middle of the book, he's got this remarkable verse or two that we've read, and he speaks about God's loving kindness. They're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Every morning. That's renewal, isn't it? Every morning. Every morning. Wonderful the way that we can prove the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning. Initially, we prove his grace when we realize that we're lost sinners, bound for hell, bound for God's judgment because of our sins, and realize that if we turn to the Lord Jesus in faith and repentance towards God, we can prove the riches of God's grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Paul also speaks about though the outward man perishes, yet the inward is renewed day by day. Now we can't stop the outward man perishing. Many of us here are older, and we know what it is to have weaknesses and failings in health. But it's true also of younger people. But we all need to prove that though the outward man perishes, the inward is renewed day by day. And the Lord Jesus would supply grace to us every day, a supply from himself. No doubt we can get it through reading God's word and in prayer. We can get something from the Lord every day to keep us fresh in our souls, so that we don't get jaded, we don't get stale, but we're kept fresh in our love for Jesus. And so what the writer says in Jeremiah, he says his compassions fail not, his mercies don't fail. God's the God of mercies. Paul speaks about that. God of all encouragement, Father of compassions, God of all encouragement, encourages those brought low so they might be an encouragement to others. And he had proved that many times for himself. So what he says here in Jeremiah is compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Every morning. Most of us know in the Old Testament, the children of Israel had a period where they were in the wilderness and they got manna every day. Every day. Every single day. Not on Saturdays, not on the Sabbath. They had to get more double the day before. But the concept of a continuity of supply. And that's what comes from Jesus. You know, he's a wonderful Saviour. People call him an all the way home Saviour. I like that. It is true. All the way home while we're here in flesh and blood conditions, the Lord Jesus can give us something fresh for our soul that satisfies our needs so that we might be able to praise God and be a help to others. And so Jeremiah says this, his compassions fail not, they're new every morning. And so he almost a little a doxology. Great is thy faithfulness. How he bursts out in praise. Just like Paul does so often when he writes his letters. In odd places, you might say, he bursts out into a little note of praise to God. A good thing to keep giving thanks. Being thankful. This is a very unthankful world. And I think as time goes on, it becomes even more thankless. In fact, one of the features of the last days is people are ungrateful. Whereas Jeremiah, even in this time, when he's looking about and seeing the dreadful devastation that had come upon that city, he's marked by thankfulness. Great is God's faithfulness. And of course that's true even today. It's an amazing fact of history that God has kept Jews intact right throughout the whole history. You won't find Picts and Scots and Angles and so on. How can you distinguish them today? But you can find Jews. Many of them can trace their ancestors back years and years. Great is thy faithfulness. And so we should give thanks to God every day and get something into our souls that satisfies our souls and keep us bright in our links with the Lord Jesus while we wait his return from the heavens. I'd like now to say a word about believers refreshing one another. And I was just thinking about this man called Onesiphorus. There's a number of times in the New Testament Paul speaks about refreshment. One of the times, he says it twice in his letter to Philemon. Philemon was a man who had a house, used his house for God's interests. He had a wife, he had a son, and used his house for the interest of God. And Paul says to this to him, when he writes to him, he refers to him as having refreshed others. He calls it refreshed their bowels, as it were. The inward parts of believers had been refreshed by him. And he has now got a new situation to face, had Philemon. And Paul tells him that he might do refreshment again. Now I look around this hall tonight, and I see people that I've known for a good number of years. And thank God for everyone who's done things for the Lord, and personally, and in their homes, and among God's people. And God appreciates that. It says in Hebrews, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and the love you've shown to his name and still showing. And I think there's a need for those of us who've perhaps done a little for the Lord to be encouraged to keep up the work. So he then brings a fresh challenge to Philemon to refresh him again by the way he would treat this brother who'd got converted but who had done wrong to Philemon. But here, this particular passage we've read, he's referring to a man called Onesiphorus. And Paul is writing this letter, believed to be the last letter that we have on record in 2 Timothy, possibly not long before he himself would be martyred. He's in a drafty dungeon in Rome, no longer in his hard lodging, but he was easy to visit. But not hard, not easy to visit now in this drafty dungeon in Rome. In fact, he asked Timothy if he could bring a warm coat for him to keep him warm because winter was coming along. And, you know, even although we might be believers, we have the same hardships as other people have. And it's a good thing to even help people practically where we can. So here he is writing to Timothy, and he draws particular attention to this man called Onesiphorus. And Onesiphorus had come to Rome. I don't know why he came to Rome, but he was there. He had clearly had done some work for the Lord in Ephesus. He'd been a help, a support to the Lord's interests in Ephesus. And he comes along to Rome, and Paul is in this prison. If you read a few verses earlier on in this chapter, you'll find a lot of people had abandoned Paul. They'd forsaken Paul. We're not told the reason for that, but they had. And Paul felt it. He felt the way that people had let him down. He felt too that when he was up before the authorities in Rome, nobody stood by him. But the Lord stood by him. The Lord will never let you down. But it's a good thing if believers support one another. It's one of the great privileges of Christianity is for believers to support one another. God, in his wisdom, enables people who come to faith to know what it is to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they might have forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified. And that doesn't just mean when we get to heaven. I think God wants believers to enjoy inheritance among them that are sanctified. In other words, by other fellow Christians, while we wait the return of Jesus. And that involves links together. That involves associations of life. And here's Onesiphorus. He's come to Rome. And when other people have turned away from Paul, he comes. And it says he sought him out very diligently. It would not have been an easy task to do that and to search out the Apostle Paul. And he says something else about him. He says, he has often refreshed me. He's often refreshed me. It wasn't just once he did it. He seemed to do it a number of times. He'd often refreshed him. Now we're living in a day, and a difficult day. It's difficult even among Christians. I know it is. Very difficult to in believers' links with one another. Many things have happened All kinds of winds of doctrine have come that have caused disturbance. Other things have happened, moral issues and so on. But Paul says about Onesiphorus that he had often refreshed him and not been ashamed of his chains. And he sought him out very diligently and found him very diligently. And Paul appreciated that. He didn't just do it once, but he did it many times. And I think we believers should be concerned to look out for opportunities to seek to refresh others that belong to God, to the Lord Jesus. Start where you are. God doesn't expect you to do miracles, but there's things that we all can do practically. It might be practical things, like writing a letter, helping someone, giving them a lift, all kinds of things that need to be done. And it's a great blessing to do it. And sometimes it needs a lot of effort. It needs an effort for believers sometimes to keep in touch with one another. And Onesiphorus was like that. He made a special effort to look out Paul. No doubt Paul got a blessing. He did. Because he said he had often refreshed me. You say, well, the Lord refreshed him. Of course he did. He mentions it in this letter. The Lord stood by him. He knew what it was, the Lord's support. But he also knew the support of a brother in Christ. And that's something Paul had known right from the start of his Christian life. First of all, he met the Lord. He knew what it was to come under the Lord's authority. He who had once had persecuted believers, he came under the Lord's authority. And he knew the Lord's love, and the Lord's support, and the Lord's care, and the Lord's direction. He knew that himself. But he also learned very quickly what it was to get the help of a brother in Christ. That's when Ananias, who was scared of Saul, and I don't blame him either, but he came along to the Apostle Paul, and he might say he put his arms around him. I'm not saying he literally did it, but he said, "The Lord, brother Saul," he got some refreshment from a brother in Christ. So he didn't only get it at the start of his Christian life, but he got it near the end of his Christian life. And I think it's a wonderful thing to know our personal links with the Lord Jesus, but also to value the links that we have with one another, because we believers can have a part in keeping one another fresh in Christ, and perhaps at times even giving a word of reproof when it is needed, and a word in season to help us all forward in the Christian life. I commend that thought to you. Not only can you personally be refreshed by the Lord Jesus, and I can be too, and we can do that through our study of the Scriptures, through reading godly ministry that exalts Christ, and through our own personal intercourse and prayer with Jesus, but we can also get help from others who belong to Christ and don't cease to value the help you and I can get from others. I'd just like to say a word too about God being refreshed. And it's a rather wonderful thing that we have that in the book of Exodus. We have in Genesis, of course, we have about the creation, what God made in the 6 days, and then it speaks about the seventh day that God rested. But when we come to Exodus, it adds this. It's a rather interesting expression, that God rested and was refreshed. It was after God had given Moses details about the tabernacle and how to construct the tabernacle. And in very great detail was given to Moses. And Moses, despite all that took place among the children of Israel and the making of the golden calf, but God's pattern was adhered to. And they constructed the tabernacle, and God gave all that detail to Moses. And at the end of the detail God gave to Moses, he refers to the Sabbath. And he refers to the fact that on 6 days, 6 days, God made, Jehovah made the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And then we have when the tabernacle, we have later on, a few chapters later, we have the glory of the Lord filling the tabernacle, as if God endorsed what Moses had done with the help of the children of Israel in building the tabernacle according to the pattern that was shown in the mount, and God came in and supported that with his glory. I've been struck recently in the Gospels, some of the best known Gospel stories, as it were. There's so much emphasis in what's secured for the heart of God. You take Luke 15. Luke 15, the shepherd going after the sheep, and maybe every one of us, or most of us, know something of that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd going after us and proving him as a seeking Saviour who found me, who found you, and drew you to himself. And that's wonderful to know that. We also forget the parable a bit about this woman and the coin. And then we have about this returning son, a so-called prodigal son, who came in from a far country to enjoy something of the riches of the Father's grace and know that for himself. But you know, what's in the mind in the parables is, first of all, there's joy in heaven. Joy before the angels of God for one sinner repenting. And the Father's delight in getting his son back in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. In other words, what God's going to get out of it. And you know, that's the purpose, in a sense, of the Gospel going forth, is that God's house might be full. That's another parable in Luke's Gospel. The Gospel is going out and out and out, telling about the Great Supper and inviting people to come to the Great Supper and be richly fed in the Great Supper. But that God's house might be filled. God is seeking, through the glad tidings, that he might secure the fallen creature as vessels of his praise. You take John 4. The woman sits at the well, at Sychar's well, and the Lord Jesus establishes rapport with that woman, gets her interest, gets her attention, makes her feel that he's got something to offer that she didn't have, says something to her, not a lot, but that draws attention to the fact that he knew everything about her. And she gets convicted, and she goes to the men of the city and says, come see a man that told me all things I'd ever done, is not he the Christ? But I also speak to you in that very passage. Jesus tells that woman about the Father seeking such people like her, people that were immoral women, people like her, people like me, people like you. The Father seeks such as his worshipper. And I think it's interesting that in Exodus, after God brings in his pattern for the children of Israel, it says, God rested and was refreshed. And I think it points on to me to the wonders of what God's going to secure in new creation, that he's going to secure people as worshippers who will worship him in spirit and truth throughout all eternity. So it's a wonderful thing to think about God being refreshed. Don't think he exactly says that in the New Testament, but it does speak about what's for the pleasure of God. With such sacrifices, for example, God is well pleased. And people doing things for God's good pleasure. God is looking from us that he might have something for his pleasure. That would be in praise and worship and thanksgiving. It would also be in our activities towards others, that in a dark world, in a world that's ripe for God's judgment, we believers might be here for the pleasure of God and the way that we treat others and show something of the kindness and love to God in our relations with others. I commend these simple thoughts to each one of us. Just think about that. God wants to refresh us. Keep us fresh. Keep us alive in love for Jesus. He lived his life as a man here. Every ear, every morning, his ear open to hear as he instructed. And he was given the tongue of an instructor, instructed, that he might know how to succor by a word him that was weary. That's how Jesus lived as a man here. That's how we should live. In relation to get something fresh each day from God, and then seeking that that might be used to help others who belong to Christ, first of all, even in a dark and difficult day like the day in which we live, but also that we might reach out towards others and convey something of the kindness and love to man of our Saviour God. And let's think, particularly tomorrow, I think of the Lord's Day, what a wonderful opportunity it is for believers to gather and seek to worship the Lord in the way he's asked us to do. That means something to him. You know, you get something of the feelings of Christ coming out in relation to these 10 lepers. They were 10 lepers. All lepers. All of them. One was a Samaritan, but they were all lepers. And they all sought the help of Jesus. What a good thing to do, seek the help of Jesus. He's ready to help any of us at any time in our lives, in our histories. But then Jesus told them what to do. Go show yourselves to the priests. And the leprosy was cleansed. Each one got cleansed. But one came back and gave glory to God. And Jesus says, the 9, where are they? Do you not think Jesus felt that? The only one came back and thanked him? Let us be among those who keep coming back in thankfulness to praise and adore the Saviour who's done so much for us. And let us be concerned to seek to refresh our brothers in Christ and be fear for the glory of the Lord until he come. May the Lord bless us all for his name's sake.